Special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us. If you live in the area and are looking for a church to call your very own home, we'd love to have you join us here at Atonement. Just speak to me and we'll make sure that happens soon. And if you are traveling on this day that looks prettier than I thought it was going to be, we pray for a safe travel and a joyful homecoming for you. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part, and all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives to us at his table today. Today is the last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King Sunday, which means that next week is the very first Sunday of the church year. When you come next week, the Advent wreath will be hanging about right here, and we will light the first candle, and we will start making our way toward Christmas, goodness sakes. We invite you to come back a little bit later this afternoon. At 2 o'clock, we're going to have a very special concert. Rock violinist Aaron Myers is going to be here, along with composer and pianist Jean-Pierre Garou. Jean-Pierre, isn't that a cool name? I love that name, Jean-Pierre. Better than Edward Leroy. Jean-Pierre. All right, and it's free will offering, but it's going, all the money that is raised will go to the Oregon Coast Youth Symphony Festival. Now, I know that Aaron Myers is going to be playing in my old hometown in Silverton at the Oregon Garden in a couple of weeks. Tickets there are between $25 and $40. So that would give you a clue as to what you're getting and what you might pay for the Youth Symphony Festival. And we'll have more information about that this afternoon. Should be a great, great time. If you haven't seen Aaron Myers, he's well worth the price of admission. We are still gathering food baskets for the Thanksgiving food boxes that we'll be passing out a bit later this week. You have until sometime tomorrow or early Tuesday morning to bring the food in. There's grocery bags and shopping lists on the table out there. And then we're asking for help on Tuesday. If you'd like to help fill those boxes, you can come about 1 o'clock. And we especially need some strong women here at 1:45 to pick up those boxes and carry them out to cars and deliver them. So, 1:45, strong bodies. Are you guys awake today? Okay. And then finally, on Monday, it's our turn to serve the stone soup meal for the homeless at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church. There's information on the back of the Words of the Week if you'd like to help out with that. Any other announcements this morning? Seems like I'm forgetting something, but if not, please stand for our gathering around the throne. You'll need your bulletin and your hymnal. Turn to hymn number 413. We begin with verse 1.
Oh,
serve you is freedom, to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide in us, reign in us, and make this world a fit habitation for your divine majesty, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I would invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Good morning, children.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Anything exciting going on I need to know about?
My grandma's coming tomorrow.
What?
My grandma's coming.
Your grandma's coming tomorrow? Well, that'll be good. Coming for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
How special is that? Yes?
Seeing you.
Seeing me? Aren't you seeing me? She's my favorite. I heard your dad's a man of La Mancha. Yeah.
I have a question.
You have a question.
How does God make himself?
How did God make himself? That's a good question. I can't wait to get you in confirmation.
Thousand question marks.
One of the things you'll learn is that pastors are not answer men. I know some things, but there's a lot of stuff I don't know, and that's one of the things I don't know. But it's a good question. It's a mystery. That's always a good answer, right? It's a mystery. Thanksgiving's coming up. Yeah, what are you thankful for?
Nothing.
Huh?
Nothing.
Nothing? Pretty much everything. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on in our world we're not thankful for, but there's a lot of stuff to be thankful for, right? And I'm thankful for all of you. I can tell you're touched. So, today's Christ the King Sunday, and I found a little story that I'm going to tell you. It's called The Backward King. All right? So I'm going to go through it kind of quick. A long time ago, there lived a king, but he was no ordinary king. He was a backward king. He was different from other kings because he did everything backward from the way other kings did. From the very day he was born, you could tell he was going to be very different. So most kings are usually born in a palace, surrounded by all kinds of royalty. But this king was born in a stable, surrounded by smelly animals, donkeys, sheep, and cows. Not a very good beginning for a king. In fact, very few people even knew that it happened, except for just some shepherds and three wise men. Getting a clue who this is, right? So as this infant king...
Jesus.
As this king grew into a man, he continued to be very different from other kings. While most kings spent their time building up their own riches, silver and gold, and building an army, this king owned nothing at all. And while most kings surrounded themselves with servants, this king said he was a servant. He came to serve, and he could often be found helping other people. As time went on, people became very unhappy with this king. He just didn't kind of fit what their definition of king was, and they thought that a king should ride on a big white horse where Jesus, whoops, the backward king.
Wait, he rode on a donkey.
Rode on a donkey. You got that right.
Go backwards.
He was backwards, wasn't he? And think about the people that he chose to be his friends. Who did Jesus choose to be his friends? Who did this backward king choose?
People that don't have riches.
People that don't have riches. Poor people.
Homeless.
His closest disciples, some of them were fishermen. Good God, what they must have smelled like? Fishermen.
Fish.
Yeah, I mean, they smelled like fish. Is there a worse smell? And he often hung out with the poor people and with sinners.
Oh yeah.
So they decided this guy's got to go.
What are sinners?
So what'd they do? They finally had him arrested and tried, and they hung him on a cross. And they put a big sign over his head, "This is the King of the Jews," like it was a great big joke, right?
That's not a funny joke.
Not a funny joke, but that's what they did. It's not a funny story, is it?
It sounds like someone hanging someone from a locker.
So what happened? He died, and they buried him, but what did the backward king do?
Woke up again.
He rose from the dead, didn't he? And now, whose king is he?
Our king.
Our king. He's our king. He's our Lord and our king. So, who do we serve?
Him.
That's right. So, we do what he tells us to do, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to be our Savior and our Lord and our king. Help us to live in the love that you have for us. And help us to serve you by sharing that love with all our friends so that they can come here and join us in worshiping you too. Bless these children today and always, and keep them in your care. Amen. You can go out there for Sunday school, I believe. They are a loud bunch, aren't they?
morning is written in Jeremiah chapter 23. Today's reading builds on the common ancient Near Eastern metaphor of the king as shepherd. Judah's unjust rulers have caused their people, their flock, to be scattered. Nevertheless, the Lord will raise up a new and righteous shepherd who will rule a restored Judah. Hear now the word. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flocks and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this morning is on page 3 of your bulletin, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved and will not be shaken in the depths of the sea.
Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river and streams.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. God speaks and the earth melts away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, regard the works of the Lord. What desolations God has brought upon the earth.
Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow, who shatters the spear, and burns the shields with fire.
Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Our second lesson is written in the first chapter of Colossians, beginning with verse 11. An early Christian hymn praises the mystery of the political, personal, and mystical Christ, the one who was present at creation and is eternally reigning with God. Hear now the word. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of all sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Holy wisdom, holy God.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, glory to you, O Lord. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. The phone call came at about 6 o'clock on a Friday evening. I was at home thinking that I was going to spend a nice quiet evening with my family, but instead I spent that evening on into the wee hours of the next morning with another family. The husband and father, a seemingly healthy and robust man in his early 50s, had been hit by a sudden and massive heart attack as he drove home from his workout. The doctor said that he was probably dead before his car crashed into a house. When I arrived, his young widow was understandably in a state of shock. I sat with her as she called her son and daughter, who were away attending a nearby college. For the next couple of hours, we sat quietly and talked and prayed and cried as we waited for her kids to come home. Finally, they did. And their arrival was announced by the loudest, deepest cry of anguish I have ever heard in my life. And when they hit the door, it was an explosion of grief. For the next several hours, we worked hard to comfort and console, to quiet and calm these two young people whose hearts had been broken, whose lives had been shattered by the sudden and unexpected death of their dad. The questions that they cried and screamed and whimpered were the same deeply human questions we all ask in times of loss and grief and tragedy. Why? Why did this happen? Why my dad? Why my husband? Why now? Underneath all those questions was the larger one, the deeper one. Who's in charge here? In whose hands does this world lie? Where is God? Is God even real? Why did God allow this young man to be ripped so suddenly and prematurely from his loving family? Who is in charge here? As a pastor, I've heard those questions many, many times. It's definitely one of the toughest parts of this calling, to be there in these moments of terrible pain and questioning. I've heard them in hospital rooms where people struggle to cope with the news that the illness of a loved one is terminal. I've heard them in cemeteries where people torn by grief and sorrow struggle to say goodbye to one they loved. I've heard them in my office and in people's homes where people struggle to understand why life hasn't turned out like they thought it would, why the marriage is ending, why the job is suddenly gone, why the child is in so much trouble. Who's in charge here? Who holds this world in their hands? Where is God in my moments of deepest pain and uncertainty? I know that many of you have struggled with those questions in your own lives at times, and maybe even some of you bring those questions with you here to worship today. Who's in charge here? Well, today as we gather, we hear the answer to that question on this Christ the King Sunday. All of our scripture readings, all of our prayers, all of our hymns proclaim the glorious good news that in Jesus Christ the powers of darkness have been defeated and the kingdom of God has come among us. In our first reading, the prophet Jeremiah is speaking to a people who have gone astray and who are suffering the effects of their wandering away from God. To these people, Jeremiah announces the promise that God will not leave them in the pain of their lostness, but that God will do a new thing. God will raise up for the people a new king, one greater than David. This king will bring with him justice and righteousness, and under him all the people will live in peace and safety. Jeremiah foresees the day when God's kingdom will come among us, and we will be saved. Paul's letter to the Colossians takes this promise one step further. Writing to a fearful little church that's being persecuted and threatened, Paul announces the good news that the kingdom of God has come in Jesus Christ. To these people living under the threat of extinction by Rome, Paul proclaims the awesome good news that in Christ they have been rescued from the powers of darkness, fear, and death, and have been transferred into the glorious kingdom of God. For it is in Christ, he says, that we find redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. Though the powers of this present world seem so strong, Paul proclaims, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and earth were created. All thrones, dominions, rulers, and powers are subject to him, for they were first created through him, and in him all things hold together. And then Paul goes on to proclaim the deepest mystery of our faith, that God should accomplish all these things, that God would choose to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And it is that deep irony that we see in our gospel reading today. For there we find this king, this one sent by God to redeem the world, enthroned not on a fancy chair, but on a bloody cross. Just a few days before, Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem to shouts of praise. Blessed be the king who comes in the name of the Lord, the people had cried. But things went quickly downhill from there. Within days, he was arrested, tried, and sentenced to death. Now he's been beaten, mocked by those who believe themselves to be in charge. A crown of thorns has been roughly pushed onto his scalp. A purple robe, a symbol of royalty, has been draped across his beaten and bloody back, and finally led to the place of execution, where between two criminals he was nailed to a cross and left to die. And even on the cross, the mocking and the abuse continued. The religious leaders led the way, saying, he saved others, let him save himself now if he's the Messiah, God's chosen one. And the soldiers standing by joined the chorus, yeah, if you are a king, come down from there, save yourself. Over his head they mounted a sign which mockingly proclaimed, this is the king of the Jews. To most of those standing there, it was all a great big joke. As I told the kids, if this is a king, he's a very strange kind of king indeed. But it's the two criminals that I've been thinking about this week. Two criminals also sentenced to die. Two criminals who hang there alongside Jesus. It's their reaction to their shared fate that captured my attention. For in a sense, I think that their reactions present the choice that all of us, that all of human history has had to make concerning this cross and this king. The first one, representing much of our world, and even ourselves at times, challenges Jesus. Are you not the Messiah? Well, then save yourself and us. He rails at Jesus' powerlessness. For what use is a Savior that will not save? What use is power if it isn't used? What use is a king who will not exercise his authority? If you are the Messiah, if you are the Savior, well then for God's sake, save us. Isn't that our prayer too? Isn't that what we want of Jesus? We too want a king who will save us, one who will keep us safe from suffering and tragedy and death. Many people in our world, and maybe sometimes we too, view Jesus' powerlessness on the cross as a sign of God's impotence in the face of the darkness and the evil of this world. But the other criminal saw something different. He somehow recognized a different kind of power at work here. He saw in Jesus not an impotent God, not a God who could act but refused to. No, instead, he somehow saw in Jesus the working of a God of love and grace, a God who chose not to crush evil with power and might, but to smother it with love. And to Jesus, this one said, Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. His words are there to remind us what kind of God and what kind of king we have. This is not a God who is remote from us, but one who is very near. This is not a king who came to live above us, but who came to live alongside us. This is a God and king who entered into our struggle, a God and king who came to enter the trenches of this life with us. This is a God and king who came to suffer as we suffer, and to die as we all die. This is a God and king who stands right there beside us when tragedy, suffering, or death come near. Our lessons today proclaim to us the truth that is at the very bedrock of our faith, that we are not alone, that even when tragedy, sickness, suffering, or even death threatens our lives, threatens to turn our lives into wreck and ruin, that we are not alone. We do have one who is in charge. We have a king who has walked this way ahead of us, a king that has suffered all that we suffer, a king that has entered death ahead of us and has won the victory for us all. As those mighty words from Colossians proclaim, we have a king who has won the victory for all, and he has promised us that no power in heaven or on earth will ever snatch that victory away. For we have been redeemed by his blood, we've been rescued from the power of darkness and made children of light. In him we have been forgiven. In him, we have been saved. In him, we have been set free. Who's in charge here? I suppose that is a question we will continue to ask as long as we live and struggle in this broken, pain-filled world. For our own human weakness leads us too easily into doubt and despair. But the good news for each of us today is this. We do have a king. We do have one who is in charge. We have one who sits at the right hand of God and who indeed intercedes for us. And so even when things seem darkest for us, even when this broken world has had its evil way with us and we are at the point of our death, even then our God reigns. For at that point, he who suffered, died, and rose again will come to us and say, "Do not be afraid. For I am your king. And truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Thanks be to God. Amen. Please step as we sing together, "O Christ, What Can It Mean For Us?" Number 431.
Thank you.
the affirmation of faith that you'll find printed on page 4 in your bulletin. I believe in God, who has created all life and continues to create new life in me. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. By his life, death, and resurrection, he has saved and redeemed the whole world so that we can know the true depth of human possibility and experience the true joy of abundant life, both now and forever. I believe the Holy Spirit is present now and always, calling me to faith, giving me gifts, and empowering me for the life of service, which is my calling. Through that Spirit, God has called and gathered his church to be the body of Christ, celebrating God's presence, standing with the poor and oppressed, working for peace and justice, loving and serving all people. Amen.
United with the saints of every time and place, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God, you are our righteousness. Fill us with the hope of steadfast love and shine light on places that were invisible to us so that we see your kingdom made visible on earth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, your reign extends from the black holes of the universe to a single grain of sand. Guide us to sustain and restore all of your creation and to live in peace with this planet. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, you are exalted among nations. Protect the people in countries ravaged by violence, warfare, and hatred, and raise up wise and generous leaders to find their strength in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, you are our help in times of trouble. Like a shepherd who guards the sheep, watch over your flock, those who are sick and hurting in body, mind, or spirit, those who are mocked, and those who are lonely. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, you call us forth from this place to lives of service. Equip the outreach ministries of this congregation. Use our hands and feet, sharing Christ's love with neighbors in need. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, the beginning and the end, we rejoice that one day we will share in the inheritance of the saints. In thanksgiving, we remember those who have gone before us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, we do indeed lift to you all who are broken this day in body, mind, or spirit, remembering especially in our prayers today Kevin Lent, Ann Swinehart, Norma Henning, Judy Whitlatch, Laura Cusick, Vo Newell, Donna Bowman, Ed Lord, Dan Rumigu, Lisa Leshock, John McKenzie, Linda Goebel, Michelle Taylor, and Dick Tyler. Come to these and to all your people who are broken, O God, and fill them with your gifts of healing and wholeness, your presence, and your peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hear now the prayers of these your children, O God, whether we speak those prayers to you aloud or whisper them to you in the silence of our hearts. Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in hope, we lift all our prayers to you, most gracious Lord, for we trust that you receive them into your loving care in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Share that peace with your brothers and sisters.
Peace be with you. peace be with you.
Our service will continue now with the offering.
Thank you.
Surrounded by evil and bordered by death, we appeal to you, our sovereign, our wisdom, and our judge. We praise you for Christ, who proclaimed your reign of peace and promised an end to injustice and harm, suffering and death. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, the sacrifice of his life and death and the victory of the resurrection, we await with all the saints his loving redemption of our suffering world. Send your Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine and on all who share in the body and blood of your Son. Teach us your mercy and justice, and make all things new in Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, "Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
You may be seated. The sacrament will be received by intinction today. You will come forward and receive a wafer, which you can then dip into either the wine in the large chalice or the grape juice in the small. I also have gluten-free wafers available. If you have need of those, let me know when you come forward. God keeps adding places to the table, so come to the banquet that has no end. We sing the Lamb of God.
Thank you.
strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, O God, our host, for inviting us here to taste the future when you will feed all the hungry at your table. Keep this hope alive in us and in our communities so that we might bring hope to a suffering world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father of glory, Jesus Christ, our peace, and the Spirit of truth be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Our sending hymn is number 805. Thanks be to God.